Morning.
Sorry, my technology ain't working.
Oh,
that's not good. In the technology world.
Amen.
That's it.
Good job.
I got it. How we doing this morning?
Good. All right.
That's awesome. I'm gonna move this a little bit. Y'all don't mind. Wow, what a day. You know, I was sitting here thinking with all the bad weather and the situation with the flood. And I told Tammy we were coming here to celebrate our Valentine's Day. I said, well, you know, maybe we'll get just stuck here and we'll have to leave. Right? All the rivers will come up and we'll be here, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, as we know that this situation is... It's not good for some people who are going to have water in their homes.
That's right.
We definitely want to put them in our prayers and understand that it's the aftermath of where they're going to need help at. So pray that if we can volunteer or do something to help someone, let's do that.
That's right.
Let's go to God in prayer before we get started. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Heavenly Father. We are so thankful to be here this morning, Father. We know that... Today, there are many fathers that are waking up with probably water in their home, Father. Mm-hmm. And Father, going through some things that they didn't plan on being a week ago, but here they are. We pray for them this morning, Father. We pray for the message this morning, Father.
That, please, God.
It's not about me, Father, but the message comes from you, Father. That you're always the one who is the perfecter of the message, so that those who need it will receive it.
That's right.
And Father, we ask that today you bless us in an awesome way.
That's
right. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and throw this little disclaimer out this morning. This message that I have about four or five messages. I have, you sit around, you just think of things, and you have your messages. And so this one was a tough one. I want to just throw that out there for you. But I always say, God don't give us what we don't need.
That's right.
So if it was tough for me, maybe it may be tough for you. But if it do, I apologize. That's not the intent. But it was a message that God put on my heart. Amen. So, what I always like to start off with?
Story.
Story.
All right. Yeah, I'll tell you, boy, y'all know me so well. All right. We got one this morning for you. Two little boys. Say, a couple had two little boys, ages 8 and 10, who were excessively mischievous. The two were always getting into trouble, and their parents could be assured that if any mischief occurred in the town, their two young sons were involved in it. They said that the parents were at their last wits and what to do about the sons, their behavior. The mother had heard that there was a clergyman in town that had successfully disciplined children in the past, so she asked her husband if he thought it would be okay if the boys could go speak to the clergyman. The husband said, sure, why not? He said, at this time, I'm about to lose my temper. Of course, my parents would have lost their temper long early before that, when we got to the clergy. But amen, he's at his wits. So the clergyman agreed to speak with the boys, but asked to see them individually. The 8-year-old boy went there and met with them first. The clergyman set the boy down and asked him sternly, where is God? The boy made no response. So the clergyman repeated the question in a more stern tone. Where is God? He says, at this time, the boy bolted out of the room, ran directly home, slammed himself into the closet. His older brother came in, following behind him, and asked him, what happened? The younger boy replied, we are in big trouble this time. God is missing. And they think we got. I just thought that was. So it's amazing what goes through the mind of a child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for him, God's missing it. They think we did. And the title of my message is this morning, where is God? That's a question I think if you haven't asked it in your lifetime, maybe you're too young to ask that question, but I guarantee you, live long enough and you will.
Yes.
Let's keep it real, because I know I've asked that question. I'm sure many of you probably have.
Yeah.
If you'll turn with me, we're going to be in Psalms 42 this morning.
All right.
Psalms 42. If everybody get there, we're going to read through that real quick. And it starts in verse 1. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with the shouts of joy and praises among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed with me? But you're hoping God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast with me. Therefore, I will remember from you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from the Mount Mazar, deep calls to deepen the roar of the waterfalls. All your waves and breaks have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning and oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed with me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
Come on.
Tell you a story. This is David. And what this is I'm good to my part. The background on this story is David and the Jews have been exiled to the North Palestine. They were taken away from Jerusalem, which is their home. Y'all know that's the holy world. That's where they were taken. And they were taken to a foreign land. And basically, David is remembering, he was a king. And so, but he has been taken away to a foreign land that's not his own. And his people are with him. And when your leader is there, you want to know, hey, what you going to do? I've been taken away from my home. And what are you going to do about it? And David basically is looking at God going, why have you forsaken me? What have I, I'm your faithful servant. What have I done to make you take me away from our home, where our temples and where everything we have belongs? And the people were walking around, and just as much as David, they were asking him the same questions. He was asking God, and they were asking him, you're the mighty David. Why? Or have you let God, what have you done? And really, they were looking at David as being the problem. David must have done something wrong. Here we are. We're in a foreign land. We've been taken away. And in saying that, sometimes we're taken away from our normal lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Things happen in our lives that take you away from the normality of what you do every day. And in that, sometimes we ask the question, based on what the situation is, God, why me? Mm-hmm. Why did this have to happen to me? Why am I in this situation? Why do the things that are going on in my life have to happen? This morning I want you to think about this, because whatever you have been, whether you're going through some issues with a spouse, maybe you've gone through some issues with the loss of a family member. I know for me and my wife, that has been a challenge. And you don't think I asked the question when I lost my daughter? God, why? Why my child? And I'm sure some of you have asked that in your lives from someone you may have lost. But at the end of the day, those are questions we ask. And they're not questions that shouldn't be asked. And you may be going through some other things in your life. You may have lost a job. You may have lost, you may be in a situation where you're going to lose your home. here's some people going to be in a flood situation. And I'm sure some of those people are asking this question is, where is my God? You know, there's a story, and I'm reading here. I always got to write stories too, y'all know that. I can find it here. Go back up. There's a story in where in Auschwitz, y'all know Auschwitz was in the German camp during World War II. There was a prison camp, and there was a gentleman there, and at the time, the Germans hung three men. And basically what they did is paraded all the people in the camp in front of these three men as they were hanging there. It set an example, of course. And as he walked by, you were forced to look. And you were made to look at these three men, no matter what they had done, but it was an example set. The only problem was the man in the middle was so small and frail that his body weight was really not that much enough for him to hang. So as they walked by, he was still alive, gasping for breath. Still with his eyes and he's breathing, his little body so frail, and he could not die. And he said he remembered this. And as he was walking by, the guy beside him asked him the question, where is God? Why would God let something like this happen? Because in this turmoil, they had saw so much death, so much torture. And he's asking the question, where is my God? Why would God let things like this happen? As we look here, David is going through the same situation with God at the same time. He's asking the same questions. Where is my God? As they are forced to live in a land that is not theirs, they're trying to figure out where is my God during all this time. You know, and in verse if you turn in verse 2, it says, when we look at verse 2, we see that we know ourselves that the hunger that he was thirsting for, he hadn't even eaten. He's eating the tears of his eyes, verse 2 it says. He says he's crying out to God so much that he's not even eating. He's eating only his tears.
Wow.
And sometimes in our lives, we go through those times when we can't eat, can't sleep. But at the end of the day, who are we crying out to? David made the mistake in this chapter where he starts to rely on himself and starts to blame himself. How often have we done that to ourselves? When we're going through things in life and we're looking for God, but we start to internalize it, and we begin to see it as our problem and not God's problem. See, even through the turmoil, it's still God's problem.
Come on.
And sometimes we will take it and take on the responsibility, and that responsibility is too much weight.
Come on.
It's too much for you to handle. See, things may happen in life. We don't know why they may happen. But God knows. And we should always rely on who?
God.
If God is there at the beginning, he will definitely be there at the end.
Come on.
Sometimes we take it upon ourselves to figure out, well, God, I think you've forsaken me, you've left me, and now I have to figure it out on my own. Big mistake. Big mistake. At the end of the day, God has still got to be in control. Whether you're going through the storm or whether you're not in the storm at all.
Right.
He's still the same God.
Come on.
He says, in verse 4, he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul to me, and I go on with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the joy and the praise, with the multitude kept holy day. He's saying, when I remember, I poured out my soul within me. Do you not know what he's doing? He's destroying himself again. He's trying to figure it out. He's going through the things that he thinks he has to do. He's trying to internalize why God has done what he's done. Not knowing that God is almighty, God makes things happen for a reason. There's a story that sometimes I ask people. I asked this question to some teens one time. I asked them the question, if you could go back in your life, would you change something if you could? Now, this was years ago in my life, and I was faced with this question, but I faced this question, and a lot of them said, yeah, I would. I think I didn't like this situation. I think I would have done better this situation. But I had to give them something to think about. What you're saying is God's made a mistake. God don't make mistakes. Yes, you may have done something. Something may have happened in your life. No matter how tragic it was, sexual abuse, whatever it was, no matter how tragic it was, God still is God. Maybe it was to make you stronger, or maybe it was to make you someone better. Who knows? Only God knows that. And I always tell them that. I say, if you make a change and you decide that you know better than God, then what you're saying is, that one change may change you to be someone you never would have been.
Sure.
You may not be in here today because of the change you have decided to do. But you're probably here because God said you need to be here.
Yep.
Come on.
And that's what you have to look at when David was faced with this situation is, yes, you're in a foreign land. Yes, you're away from your temple. But guess what? God is still God. Amen. You still got to do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. You still got to get up and worship every morning. Amen. We look at life so, I don't know, I guess with roses, but guess what? He woke you up this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're right here. A lot of people just yesterday didn't make it to today. Mm-hmm. A lot of people couldn't get out of their sick bed today. Mm-hmm. But you're here. Don't ever put God down in a place where you think that God is below you. You are in charge. God is always. So where is your God? He's here. Yeah. He walks among us all the time.
That's right.
Sometimes we don't see it because we're looking too far ahead. We're looking at our own little situation and we forget that God is bigger than any situation you got or I got.
That's right.
You may be going through a situation so that you can be stronger, so the person you meet in life that you share the word of God with, you can help that person. Mm-hmm. Because you've been through the same thing they've been through. So you don't know the ultimate plan of where God wants to take you and where he wants to see where you to be. This is not your life to have anyway. It was always God's. He wants you to use it for him.
Right.
So we go through these things, just like I say this is emotional for me because to lose my daughter at 22 was devastating for me. Mm-hmm. And I asked the question, where is my God? Why does she have to die on that road?
Come on. It's okay.
But God didn't make a mistake. It was her time. And maybe that's because he wanted me to be strong for someone else. I can now talk to people who've lost their child. I can understand their pain. Where before I couldn't. Same with all of us. No matter what you're going through, guys. No matter what situation you're put in. Whether you even have, I used to be part of a prison ministry. Just go up to the prison. And I looked at those young men in prison, sitting there sharing the word with them. Yes, they're in prison for whatever reason, I don't know. But you know what? God still got a plan for them too.
Yes.
Some of those men in prison that we shared the word with, shared with someone else. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do that because I ain't in prison. But God still used them. Mm-hmm. And he'll use you too. Just like he told David, I can still use you. See, God's word is more important than anything that we put in place. It's more important than our little bitty lies that we walk around in this world thinking we in control of, but we're not.
Right?
You're not in control of a step out this room.
Sure.
Trust me, you think the people at 9/11, when they went into work that morning, thought that somebody was going to ride a plane into the building? So, when I say that is, David was in a situation like that. But David's responses were not what God needed him to be. See, what God wanted him to see is that, yeah, you're in this land, but the question is, are you still going to follow me?
Right.
Come on.
When you're in a bad situation, will you still lean on God, or will you lean on your own understanding? Kind of like the song, huh?
Mm-hmm.
When you lean on my own, yeah. Because we have a tendency to do that, and I want to tell you, wrong, don't do it.
Come on.
Still put your faith in God through everything that you go through. God will lead you through the way that you need to go.
That's right.
You just got to have faith. And sometimes, you know, it's hard. When you're in a storm, it's different.
Yeah.
It's not a place that of comfortability. It's a place of discomfort.
Yeah.
But that's okay. The storm don't last forever.
That's right.
You just got to have faith in God that at the end of the day, he will see you through.
That's right.
You know, in verse 9, it said, David felt, in verse 9, he was forgotten. And his faith was inquiring of God. Lord, have you forgotten me? It's kind of amazing. He put it all on him. Me. Forgotten me. You know, it seemed like I wish he would have said, you forgot about my people. Because you're the king. You should be thinking about your people. But he put it on, forgotten me. It's kind of almost a selfish thing as you're the leader of people. But he says, that's what he was. He says, have you put me on the shelf? Have you forgotten to care for me? Have you forgotten to love me? God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, that don't mean that you can't leave God and forsake God. But God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He meant that. You see, God is about love. He'll always love you. You know, I was sharing with someone the other day, we were talking about children. And I said, you know what? Our children can do some of the craziest thing in the world. But we're going to still what? Well, you think God ain't going to love you when you mess up? What an ultimate father that is. No matter what you do, he's still going to love you. Just like we love our little knucklehead children when they act up.
Amen.
They do some crazy stuff. You look at them and go, really? But at the end of the day, we love them because they are children. We are all God's children. God loves us more than anything. So when you're going through things in life, don't think God has got to love you. He just wants maybe a little bit of discipline for you. You know, hey, I spank my kids, but I still love them. I don't do that because I hate them. I do it because I'm hoping it'll change their life. But God sometimes needs to what? Spank us a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe bring us out. Maybe humble us a little bit.
Come on.
Maybe our pride has gotten a little too big. Maybe our arrogance of where we are in life is a little bit too much. We too proud to go out and talk to the homeless person or to feed the person or to go to where the places God has asked us to do. A friend of mine once told me, he says, back in Atlanta some years ago, he said, it's sad that people want to play with God. I think they should find somebody else to play with.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the one.
Right.
You want to play with somebody, you better find someone else.
Yep. Because
you play with God, you get burned.
That's right.
God is not someone to play with. That's not what he was meant to be. That's not what we should put him at, someone to play with. But it goes on to say, it says, have you forgotten your promises toward me? And in verse 10, he feels as if there is a dagger going into his very bones. He feels in its terms that he's going between his ribs, that his heart and his soul is on fire. It is so painful. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to a point in your life when you just think, yes, God, one more issue, one more problem? This morning there was a story on, my wife was listening on this, message this morning. It wasn't part of my message, but it can be a part because it made me think of this. Because this is something that's very prevalent in our society. A young man took over his father's ministry at 33, I think it was. And as he was preparing for his first, I guess, message, he committed suicide.
Wow.
And but they found out that he was dealing with what? Depression and some other things. That's a big thing in our society today. A lot of us are dealing with it, and we're dealing with it on our own. Trying to figure it out on our own. But that's help. It's too much, too many people are dying, too many people are killing themselves because of depression. God, you know, has a plan for you, but you gotta reach out and let people help you. You gotta let, so when you're feeling down and you're feeling like you can't go any farther, putting yourself out of your misery or where you want to say it is not the way to go. Get some help. Go get some help. God loves you way too much. He's not ready for you to go like that.
That's right.
So I thought about that this morning as, you know, David was in a little bit of a depression mood. He was depressed because he wasn't where he wanted to be. And he didn't commit suicide, but like I said, who knows what life could bring people to. I know sometimes it gets hard. And a lot of people, you may know someone. If you do, help them. Talk to them. And give them something. I'll go back here. So, you know, in this whole thing, David is in a situation again. He's away from his family. He's away from his land. And he's in a foreign place, and he's going through some things in life. And what I want to do, if anything else, is realize that, you know, when we're not in our own comfort zones, we still have to be strong for God. God may have us in a place that we're not comfortable with, but at the end of the day, God will take care of you. And I think sometimes he puts us there to see if you're going to rely on him too. We have a tendency of many times relying on ourselves and relying on others. You know, Ben Barnett, the pastor back in Atlanta, used to always say, people will come to him because he's the pastor. And for some reason, he got all the answers. And he asked the one question that seems to make them walk away. He'll say, have you reached out to God?
Amen.
Have you been praying?
Come on.
Have you been studying your word? Have you been getting closer to God to solve your problem?
Yes.
And most of them can't answer that as a yes. That's sad. Because it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
Understand this. Your relationship with God is your relationship. Now, I can support you and help you and pray with you and be a friend to you, but your relationship with God is your relationship.
Yep.
You have to nurture that. You have to build on that. You have to take it in and reciprocate it from God. I can't give that to you. No pastor can give that to you. We can stand up here and preach all day long, but you got to walk out of here and do something.
Yes.
You just can't just listen and go, that's the end.
That's right.
At the end of the day, you've got to take the word of God and use it in your life so that God can change your life for the better. If we don't, then what are we doing? See, God has a plan for each and every one of us. My plan is not the same as Sydney's plan. My plan is not the same as Richard's plan. My plan is different from everybody else's, just like yours is. But you won't know the plan unless you get close to God to see the plan.
Come on.
People can't do that for you. David, they were asking David to figure it out for them. Where is my God? Instead of them asking the question, I know where my God is. He's just waiting on me to do what I need to do.
Yes.
See, we got to understand that God loves us enough to have a plan for you. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we want to get in the way of the plan, and then when things don't go right, we ask God, where is my God? He said, well, I was right here with you all the time, but you just didn't look over here to take my hand.
Amen.
You walked away. You did things you know you shouldn't do. Now, does that mean he left you? Guess
no.
What? Even in your sin, he said, well, I'll walk along with you. Come on. Let's go together. Drag me along. At the end of the day, we can make some crazy decisions because we know they ain't about God.
That's right.
And God will still be there.
Come on.
But don't put yourself through the troubles. Think. That old that saying, what would Jesus do? And that's a little, y'all remember that old saying?
Yeah.
A little acronym?
WWJD.
Yeah. What is it? WWJD.
Yeah.
And I think that's a pretty good thing. Maybe before we do anything in life, you know, I get you get ready to get in the car to go do something, you know, crazy. I wasn't going to give an example. And y'all get in the car and go, what would Jesus do? I think I'm turning the car over back to high. Or, because if you ask the truth, if you really truly ask the question, you will get the answer. Now, amen. We can all say, what would Henry do? That one there, you probably go, you'll stay in the car.
Yeah.
But what would Jesus do?
Amen. Come on. Amen.
Because at the end of the day, God loves us so much. He loved David here. He loved the people. This was his promised people. Y'all know that, right?
Yeah.
You think he turned his back on them. He wouldn't turn his back on them. But sometimes, we, like I said, in this situation, I don't know what they had done, but evidently they weren't where they supposed to be. They got back there, but they had to go through a little bit of something. And I think God does that to all of us.
That's
right. Let us go through a little something. Just sometimes it's a lot of something, but a little of something. Maybe to bring us back.
Yeah.
Come on.
But, in closing, I want you to think about this, guys. I'm going to read it. I got a little story. It says, Sir Harry Lauder lost his son in World War I. He turned to his best friend and he said this, and I quote, "When a man comes to a thing like this, there are just three ways out of it. There's a drink, there's a despair, and there's God."
Come on.
I hope that you choose God.
Yes. Amen.
Because at the end of the day, yes, you can go down all the different roads. But at the end, God is where you want him to put it for you.
That's right.
Your salvation and your grace. Because God can give it to you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what pain is in your life, God is the Savior, God is the Father. Many times there are people who have been, atheists and all different things, and for some reason when it's time to go, they always turn to God. So all his life they didn't believe in God, but all of a sudden they're dying and they go, "Now I want to believe in God." Don't wait till it's that time in your life to start to believe in God. Mm-hmm. Choose God now while you have a chance to. And I guarantee you at the end of the day, God will give you grace and mercy. God be glorified.